Supplemental hymn number 18. And of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And the Lord forgave us the iniquity.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness.
To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who didst manifest thyself with the Holy Ghost in the fullness of grace at the baptism of thy dear Son, and with thy voice didst direct us to him who hath borne our sins, that we might receive grace and the remission of sins. Keep us, we beseech thee, in the true faith, and inasmuch as we have been baptized in accordance with thy command, and the example of thy dear Son. We pray that you strengthen our faith by thy Holy Spirit, and lead us to everlasting life and salvation. Through thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for Quinbagesima Sunday is found in the 8th chapter of Jeremiah, the 4th through the 9th verse. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, they refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repenteth him of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Everyone turn to his course as the horse rusheth into battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle dove and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do ye say, We are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, the false pen of the scribe speaks falsely. The wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 1st through the 13th verse. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up, doth not easily behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. And when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Here endeth the epistle. Thou art the God that doeth wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the peoples. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. The Holy Gospel is found in the 18th chapter of Luke, the 31st through the 43rd verse. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they went, and they which went before rebuked him, and that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe
in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 513.
Come to me, Savior.
Grace, mercy, and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the third chapter of Jonah, the 1st through the 10th verse. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose, went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to go into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, And yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and he covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hand. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us in truth. Thy word is truth. Once there was a stubborn and bigoted man whom God had called as one of his prophets. God sent this prophet to a great and mighty city, a city so big that it would take 3 days to cross through it on foot. But this prophet, Jonah, would not obey the will of the Father in heaven. He despised the word and commandment of the Lord. He refused to go to the great city, and he thought to outrun God himself in a ship. But God put an end to this foolishness and caused Jonah to be thrown overboard and swallowed by a mighty whale in his belly. He remained for 3 days. There Jonah repented of his sin and obeyed the word of the Lord. He entered into that great and mighty city, Nineveh, though he hated even then to do so, for he despised this people. He preached the words which God had sent him to preach, and he proclaimed judgment upon their sins. Behold, the power of the word of the Lord had a mighty effect. The entire city, who could easily have arrested Jonah and put him to death, instead listened intently to him. The king pleaded with his people to put on sackcloth and ashes, to bow down in repentance, to eat no food, to drink no water, if so be that God might be merciful unto them, and turn from the destruction which he would surely rain down upon them. And so, though their sins were indeed as scarlet, yet they were made white as snow, for the Lord heard their cry, and saw their penitence, and he turned his heart toward them in mercy. Once there was a mighty preacher whose name was Jesus. He always did the will of his Father in heaven. When his Father said, Go here, he went. When his Father said, Speak unto these people my word, he ever spoke the word of his Father. He did not travel far and wide to the great cities of that day, to Rome and Carthage and Athens, which were surely very wicked in their own right. He preached only in his own land, and mostly only to his own countrymen. That land had a great city, a mighty city, a city which hated and despised him, Jerusalem. He was their own countryman. He loved them dearly, and yet for his preaching, they sought to put him to death. He had much to fear from them, and yet he went even so. He preached peace unto them, declaring that God was a gracious God who forgives the sins of the penitent and would surely wipe all their sins away also. He prophesied that even so they would take him and treat him spitefully and finally put him to death. One of his closest disciples pleaded for him to turn away from Jerusalem, to not go where his father sent him to go, for they loved their master. Yet Jesus rebuked his wrong-thinking disciple Peter, and he obeyed his father's will. He continued to preach and warn the people of the wrath of God to come, that if they would not turn from their wickedness, not one stone would be left upon another in the day that God visited them with his wrath. But this people did not repent. They took pleasure in their sins, and they crucified Jesus even as he knew they would. For 3 days, Jesus was in the belly of a tomb. But death could not reign over this one in whom the Father was so well pleased. He was raised again to declare even to his rebellious city, and to all men, that God in Christ Jesus had found all the world to be righteous. And yet, even then, they did not repent. And so, after 40 years, the promised destruction came upon them. How is it that the city of Nineveh, a city filled with strangers to the household of God, could find mercy in God's sight, whereas his own people Israel were destroyed? It was never God's will that they perish. As the prophet Hosea declared, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. How our Lord grieves over the stubborn pride of his beloved city. The death they died should have passed over them, for their Lord Christ had already absorbed the debt of their sin in his body upon the cross. But God does not force his grace upon anyone. He does not drag any man kicking and screaming into heaven. His grace is a gift that can be and usually is refused. And how could any man blame the giver of such a perfect gift as the gift of Christ Jesus, when it was the people themselves who refused the gift? Is it not offered in perfect sincerity? It must be. For have not the scriptures already declared, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself? Did not Jesus himself say that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? These are the words which the Father sent Jesus to preach. It was no mistake. He said the world, not men from all over the world. And who is man to tell the Father, not so, Lord. How could you pay for the sins of those who deny your only begotten Son? That would be a waste. It would be senseless. And yet that is exactly what God declares that he has done. In 2 Peter 2, verse 1, that men would come into the church and deny the Lord that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. He bought them, yet they are still destroyed. Even if it was his beloved city, Jerusalem. Nineveh was saved, but Jerusalem was destroyed. Yet not all of Israel perished. Most of his own did not receive him, but not all. There were a few who rejoiced in his coming, and they heard the call of the prophet John. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in sackcloth and ashes they mourned their sin. The lame and the blind came to Jesus because their sickness showed them every day of their sins. They came who hungered after righteousness. And just as none could say that God had abandoned his people, so also none could say that they had done anything to deserve his kindness. Therefore, in sackcloth and ashes they sat, for this was a fitting place for a people whom God had redeemed from certain death. They waited on the Lord, if so be that he would turn away from the evil end that they, for their sins, deserved. And they did not wait in vain, for the Lord refreshed them in the waters of baptism for the remission of their sins. He refreshed them through his absolution. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. And so not only was God's wrath turned away, they also knew the joy of salvation. All of mankind stands between these two judgments of God, that of Nineveh and Jerusalem. One or the other will be every man's lot. The way of Nineveh is hard, the way of Jerusalem easy. Look at what a mighty city of Nineveh had. They had much reason to be proud, but they also had much reason to be ashamed. They used their might to serve a wicked end. Who was any man to tell them that theirs was the way of death? They were doing fine. Did they not with their own hand defend themselves from their enemies? Did not labor and commerce flourish among them? Were not their works the envy of cities throughout the land? But now comes the prophet Jonah, and they are supposed to count all their works, their might, as useless and vain. When a city is so great, it is a long way down to the dust and ashes of repentance. But though there be much pride to overcome, the word of the Lord can overcome it. Nineveh received the word of the Lord not because they were wise, but because God's word was powerful. Jerusalem, on the contrary, had far less greatness so far as their stature in the world was concerned. They were small in comparison. But what they lacked in land and wealth, they made up for in generational pride. They were the children of Abraham. God gave his word to them, not to the other nations. Why should they of all people bow down to the dust in repentance? Will yours be the way of sackcloth and ashes unto repentance, or will the pride of your heart rule over even your understanding of the word of God, so that the wonderful things which he has spoken are hidden from your ears, so that you cannot know them? For you too cannot have it both ways. Yet either you are a poor sinner who, but for the mercy of God, is redeemed, or you are proud and seek no help and comfort from the Lord. We all look up to certain family or friends whom we're privileged to know, who have set a wonderful example of faithfulness to their Lord. They speak often of the salvation of Christ. They set a good example in word and life, following the commandments of the Lord. Some of them have passed on, others are with us still. As we think of them, it is tempting to tell ourselves, this is a different caliber of man. He is better than others. His words and deeds are pure. His heart is not corrupted like so many others. He is wise and good. Should we not think well on those who have set a great example of faithfulness? Indeed we should. But let none forget that no man comes to the Lord but by the way of Nineveh or the way of Jerusalem. If it is not in sackcloth and ashes that you come to your Lord, it can only be in pride and arrogance. It is no different for any man, even those whom we admired as great examples of faithfulness. When all is said and done, the greatest man is but a sinner whom God has brought to dust and ashes by the preaching of his law, that he might lay his anger by and grant them life and mercy. And so it is through sackcloth and ashes that every man comes to know the grace and mercy of God. But God does not leave you there. Were he to abandon you in your mourning, you would mourn in vain. The dread of sin and death would overwhelm you and drive you to despair. No, he lifts you up with the word of his Son. Be of good cheer. Thy faith hath saved thee. With his merciful hand, he lifts you from the ashes, and he gives you a better garment than sackcloth. He clothes you with the robes of his own perfect righteousness, and he ends the death sentence which was yours, and he grants you life. So enduring is this life that though your body returns to earth as dust, from the dust and ashes of the earth you shall arise. For the word of Christ will speak once more on the last day. And he who is in the belly of the tomb for 3 days will open your tomb also. And then shall you know sackcloth and ashes no more. For the glory of God will be upon you. May, therefore, the God of salvation so grant that we seek him through the sackcloth and ashes of repentance, that the joy of salvation which endures forever may be ours. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, whose ways are mercy and truth to such as keep thy covenant and thy testimonies, let the gentle dew of thy peace fall upon all who have come this day into thy house to offer unto thee the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. In the name of thy Son, pardon our iniquity. Remember not the sins of our youth, nor our transgressions, but in thy great mercy forgive us. Restore our souls, lead us into thy truth, teach us thy ways. Be gracious unto us and lead us out of all our distresses. O Lord Jesus Christ, thou Son of David, who didst prophesy thy passion and death, have mercy upon us, open our sin-darkened eyes to behold thy glory and to rejoice in thy salvation. Give us faith that we may believe in thy power and in thy love, that thou art able to grant our petitions and art willing to save all that come unto thee, unto the Father, by thee. O Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, who alone leadeth men from the darkness of error into the light of the kingdom of Christ, enlighten our understanding. Teach us of the great love wherewith Christ hath redeemed us, and with this knowledge establish in our hearts the hope of everlasting life and an enduring love for God and our neighbor. O Holy Triune God, in whom we live and move and have our being, Bless this house, that it may be continually a place where thine honor dwells. Thy name is praised, and thy truth is proclaimed. Bless our homes, that they may be rooted and grounded in love and every good work. Help all those among us who may be enduring any affliction, trial, or adversity. Reveal the exceeding greatness of thy power to all who believe. Look in mercy upon the nations of the earth, and cause all peoples and rulers to yield to thine authority, that in every place thy name might be hallowed, thy kingdom prospered, and thy will be done, even as it is done in heaven. To this end, cause thy church to go forth to the nations, preaching thy gospel with courage and boldness, and manifesting thy grace and glory with works of love and compassion. And when to him whose name we bear, whose doctrine we confess, and whom, though we now see but darkly, shall one day see face to face, even Jesus Christ, be honor and glory forever. Amen. We sing hymn number 376. Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
hearts. Give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink, eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Sing the Nunc Dimittis. That would strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We sing hymn 53. Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.